Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words be yours and bless. Amen. This Tuesday, we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, or so we're told. On All Saints' Eve in 1517, a young Augustinian monk named Martin Luther nailed 95 theses for discussion on the door of the Old Castle Church in Wittenberg. And we say that that's the beginning of the Reformation. But that's really a stretch. Because when push comes to shove, the Reformation really took root almost 4 years later. It was April 18th, 1521, when this same Martin Luther is put on trial before the Emperor Charles in the Diet of Worms. He's charged with heresy because of his writings that had inflamed the German people and caused an uproar in the one holy Catholic Church. Now, contrary to what he thought, he was not given a chance to talk about his writings, to elaborate or explain or debate or defend his controversial views. He was only asked two questions at the end of the day. One, are these your writings? And they're all arrayed on a table before him, to which he said yes. And then he was asked, do you recant of everything you've written? And he asked for another day to think about it. And then, even though at the time they were spoken with a wavering voice, his answer that next day rang loud and clear, saying, unless you can prove me wrong by Scripture, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, so help me God. But we know that, or we wouldn't be here at this time. Here I stand. According to Dr. Paul Meyer, these were the words that ushered in the modern world. And for Luther, this was the crux of the Reformation. Not an invitation to debate a scholarly series of topics, but his refusal to be intimidated by the powers that be, both secular and spiritual. Now, unfortunately for those of us who follow in his steps, here I stand is often where it ends. Ever since, we've clung to these words and the defiant stubbornness that they represent, and we've clung to it rather proudly. But this is a different world. And sometimes this idea of what was once a strength might actually be a liability. The church, as we know it, has gradually but inexorably slipped into kind of a bunker mentality. It is us against the cold, cruel, secular culture out to undo us, threatening our very existence. We will not be moved. And it's safe to say, for generations, we haven't. Here I Stand was a great call to arms against persecution and corruption from those who were abusing their power. But I wonder how fitting of an approach it is for our 21st century reality. For us, Here I Stand is the wrong place, the wrong case, and the wrong stance for us to take. And so, keeping in mind this Reformation Sunday and Jesus' understanding and preaching that the gospel and receiving it means doing a 180, a metanoia, a repentance of what we do, I propose that all of us Christ-following Lutherans, instead of shouting, "Here I stand," might declare the very opposite. There we go. Not here I stand, but there we go. Here is the wrong place. The church is fine and good, but as we all know, the mission field is out there. Christ put us on earth for the people that aren't here yet. And we in the Pacific Northwest live in this none zone where the number one reply to any survey about your religion is none. So if the people aren't coming in here, and probably aren't, we need to go out there. To the soccer fields, the supermarkets, the home and boat shows, the schools and offices. It is too easy, much less ineffective and self-denying, just to sit back and say, they know where we are, figuring that anybody wants to learn about Jesus in our day and age has to come into our building. Now, this is a tough thing for a pastor to say, but here is not the only place where ministry takes place. In fact, it might not even be the primary place. Now, for Martin Luther, his here was a very dangerous place to be. It involved being excommunicated and even killed. But for us in our situation today, here tends to be pretty cozy. We know what's coming on. We even know what's going to be coming next. In fact, we sometimes get mad when it's not what we expect. But there, out there, that's where the challenge is. There we might be embarrassed, shunned, made fun of, ignored, or hurt. Now, where do you think our Savior would have us to be? Christ does not call us to easy, to comfortable. He calls his disciples to go where it's not safe. Take up your cross and follow me. Lose your life if you want to gain it. Our mission is out there. At least that's where our mission starts. That's where our faith is required and necessary. That's where Christ sends us. But secondly, it's not here I stand, but there we go. Wrong case. The gospel is not a singular thing. It's definitively, existentially plural. We're in this together. Christ has called us into community to his cause. It is not good for man to be alone, God observes, seeing Adam sitting all by himself in paradise. And two chapters later, he reminds his son that, yes, he is his brother or sister's keeper. This Christian thing is a we thing, even though we tend to think and act otherwise. I love the way my doctoral advisor, Leonard Sweet, put it. He goes, ours is an age of iPhones, iTunes, iPads, iMacs. We even spell we with two I's. So somehow we've gotten this mistaken notion that our faith is a personal, individual thing, that the object of my belief in the God is that someday I get to heaven. And it's better and simpler if other people aren't involved. All I have to do is worry about me. And so Jesus becomes my personal savior, like a fitness coach, a secret recipe, or an inside source. You will not find that term anywhere in Scripture. Following Jesus is about community. And it's articulated by a whole list of what we do with one another. Now, in Martin Luther's case, I served as a catalyst for others to take courage and stand up with him. In ours, it's often as an excuse not to have to worry about other people's souls, particularly those we don't even know. But we are blessed so that we can be a blessing. We are loved by God so that we can share God's love with other people. The gospel should be the greatest we thing in the world. And thirdly, not here I stand, but there we go. Motion's required. Jesus called his disciples to action. Most of his teachings are about going and harvesting. His first words weren't, believe in me, but follow me. And his last words weren't, hold down the fort, but you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, for Martin Luther, taking a stand was indeed a big step. In his day, everyone was part of the Catholic Church, and the threat to people's souls was from within and above. But ours is a much different world. Standing, especially standing apart, makes us irrelevant. And often, what we call our outreach is really a camouflaged insuck, because we do it to get more people in here. So instead of being centrifugal and like a sower spreading seed or something watering the earth, we become centripetal, like a toilet flushing. Our mission is not to sit back and gather among ourselves and wait for other people to show up. Ours is to follow Christ, who was, is, and will be always on the move at work in this world through us. I mean, sure, he sets his face toward Jerusalem, Luke tells us. But he still sees the man in the tree, the woman in the well, the beggar by the side of the road. And he sees each and every one of us in our hopeful, yearning, yet prone to hesitate glory in our following. And still he loves us. Still he calls us. Still he dies for us. Still he beckons us to the cross. Because it's a journey. And we're his children going along with him. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, of course not. But all the more reason to keep on going, keep on following. Not here I stand, but there we go. And there are two ways to look at it, and that's why this picture's been up the entire time. It's a photo by Alan Bruce Lee. Really liked it. I see it because we put it in our in the place where I work in my home so I can look at it every day and be inspired. But I see something different in it than the photographer that took this picture. And I had it out with him one time face to face, and he didn't change his mind. Because Alan calls this picture waiting for the believers. It's kind of like you're standing there hoping somebody shows up. But my title for this is The Church Has Left the Building. That the faithful people have gone out into the light, following the light. And they go out excited by the possibilities. And I stand there saying, I better hurry up and catch up with my congregation. So don't get me wrong. I love the church, and I am convinced that Lutheranism has a corner on the truth. And there's no way I want to diss the courage, the faith, the theology of Martin Luther. But I truly believe we need to celebrate and focus not so much on that 16th century Reformation, but on a 21st century reformation of the church, to celebrate it and be a part of it. Stating boldly and living out even more boldly, not here I stand, but can you say it with me? There we go. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.